Wall Street gets a blank check while Main Street picks up the tab. Politicians raise taxes while the private sector picks up the tab. Who's fighting for business, and how do we turn things around? Welcome to the only live and local show dedicated to the private sector and turning our economy around. This is Brian Bushlack's Business Briefing on FM News 101.
It's 7 minutes past the hour across the Portland metro area. Welcome to an all-new edition of Business Briefing. We are live and local from Alpha Broadcasting's downtown studios here at the PacWest Center. I'm Brian Bushlack. Glad you could join us as we hit the midpoint here in February. Lots to talk about. Pat Stone joining us from WFG National Title in just a minute. Quick preview of our next hour here. The Oregon economy holding pretty steady. We'll tell you where Portland ranks in terms of small business vitality, and yet another firm is moving into downtown Portland. Could this be the Charlie Hales effect? We'll talk about that coming up in our next hour. Plus, Greg Bell from Water the Bamboo joins us. Right now, we head to the phones, though. Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title, joining us. Pat, thanks for taking time on your Sunday here. We kicked off the year about a month ago with your presentation to a packed house downstairs here at the Bing Lounge, and I got a lot of positive feedback, so thanks for your presentation. And really, the main takeaway was your optimism about our improving economy, not only locally, but nationally. Here we are a month later. We've received some lukewarm numbers here. Are you feeling better or worse now?
I'm feeling just the same, Brian. Nothing that has happened has been a surprise. I think almost anybody that gave it sufficient thought realized that Q1 was going to be problematic. You have a payroll tax increase. People have to digest that a little bit. You have the looming sequester issue. That's got a lot of conversation. I think you have a perception of a dysfunctional government. And so there's a lot of angst around those issues. But underneath all that is a steady improvement in the overall economy. Debt service is reduced dramatically for individuals. Corporations have refinanced their debt at historic lows. The federal government debt service on the federal deficit is actually very, very low compared to the last 20 years because rates are so low. Lending increasing noticeably. Banks are recapitalized and doing very, very well. We have very low cost energy. We're importing less energy. There's a lot of very, very positive things happening, but they will take time. These are not immediate fixes. It's like at the beginning of the downturn conversation, is this going to be a V-shaped recovery or a U-shaped recovery? Well, it's actually been an L-shaped recovery so far, and things are getting better, but getting better slowly. So first half of the year is going to be a little bit slow. Second half of the year will pick up. Overall year will probably be very comparable to 2012, but the underlying fundamentals are getting better. 2014, I think you're going to be back around 3% or 3% plus growth in the GDP. So I think most people sense that, and I think you see it in the stock market. I think investors are fairly confident.
It's interesting. The past couple of years, we've started off with lots of optimism, and then the second half of the year has been a little disappointing. You see it kind of going the opposite way this year, where it's kind of flat here to begin, and then we'll pick up in the second half.
Absolutely. We have a tremendous distraction right now with conversations in Washington, D.C., and with digesting the payroll tax increase. I mean, the average consumer, the January consumption numbers weren't bad, but they do reflect people trying to get used to the idea about having a little bit less in their paycheck. And, as everyone knows, you get a paycheck, the first half of the year, there's a lot of deductions to the paycheck. As you get towards the latter half of the year, it becomes less onerous. But the average consumer is kind of getting used to the new paradigm, and then if we get past the sequester conversations and we get on into the year a little bit, I think the underlying fundamentals will start to emerge. There, government is going to be a drag on the economy this year, and a lot of people still don't believe this, but federal government spending has gone down the last 3 years in a row. And the deficit growth has been cut in half in the last 3 years, but... Uh, that fact doesn't emerge much. And so federal government is a drag on the economy. We do have new home construction emerging, and that is offsetting it to a large degree. So I remain optimistic, but it's a long haul. We still have a couple years before we get back to a normal state of affairs.
My gosh, Pat, what's a couple years? It's been four since 2008, right? It's like the top of the sixth inning right now.
Yep. That's a way to look at it.
Yeah. Well, you talked about the sequester. We tend to steer clear of politics here, so I will qualify the statement by saying that. But I do find it very interesting that the GOP has done a 180 and finally learned it is not smart to pick a fight with Barack Obama. I mean, you know, what took so long? The debt ceiling delay. We get no budget battle, at least for the foreseeable future here. I guess the question is, how long will this last, Pat?
Well, here's the thing, Brian, that's hard to understand. And, you know, it's not hard to understand. It's easy to understand, hard to comprehend. We've got political conversations that are geared to get reelection or to make political points. They're not necessarily consistent with the underlying realities. For example, all the haranguing and brouhaha about the deficit. It's very real. We have a problem in this country that we're spending too much money. It is not something we need to solve today. We look out. I mean, the deficit right now, this year will be under $1 trillion, be 800 and some billion this fiscal year. It is less than half of what it was 3 years ago. It will continue to decline all the way through 2015. So we've got three fiscal years left of declining deficit just with normal growth in the economy, increased revenues from payroll taxes, the shrinking government that's already been affected, I mean, about $2.5 trillion in cuts out of a $4 trillion goal. So you're seeing that you have 3 or 4 years here to actually start addressing the entitlement programs. Do they need to be addressed? Absolutely. So if you step back and you say, okay, I'm in the opposition party, I know I want to accomplish something, instead of trying to make everything an immediate crisis, actually try to negotiate some changes. Obama, you know, whether you're, and I am agnostic, believe me, I could care less one way or the other, but Obama did say something yesterday that I found interesting, and that is that he would entertain modest reforms on programs like Medicare. Now, that's not much of a carrot to put out in front of the Republicans, but he said something there, and I think that if I were the Republicans, understanding where the country is, the country's more concerned about the government stimulating the economy than they are the government cutting the debt. I mean, that's what the election told us. So if I was a Republican, I'd play to that, and I'd say, okay, let's start talking about how we get entitlement growth under control within the next 4 or 5 years. Germany, to me, is a perfect model. In 2009, they passed a law that said by 2016 they had to have their deficit down to so-and-so, and by 2020 they had to have it fixed. So they didn't threaten to jump off a cliff. They didn't make it an immediate crisis. They made it a rational approach. And if the Republicans did that, I think then they would curry respect, and they would get in favor with the electorate.
Patrick Stone joining us, president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title. Only about 90 seconds till we hit the break here, Pat. And speaking of austerity, we've seen what's happened in Spain. When you go that route, we'll talk about that in about 30 minutes. But real quick, Obama also calling for a hike in the minimum wage up to a whopping $9 an hour. You know, even at that, I mean, it's below poverty level. Where do you stand on this? I read an interesting piece in the Wall Street Journal this past week that claims that there will be opposition to this, which I find remarkable.
I do too, and there's been quite a few reputable economic studies on the minimum wage, whether or not it increases unemployment or what impact it has, positive or negative. There is no confirmed analysis, and I don't believe there's anybody that can say with certitude it either is plus or minus to the economy. But we have one. We have 19 states that have raised it since the last time the federal government raised it. And we have an inconsistency that's really hard to swallow. And that is, if you are fully employed at the minimum wage, you're living under the poverty line. I think the two should be at least consistent. So I guess I'd be in favor of raising it. Would not impact. I don't know anybody who would quit hiring because of it.
Good stuff. Pat Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial and WFG National Title, joining us this Sunday here on Business Briefing. When we come back, we'll talk about housing. The Case-Shiller numbers, pretty remarkable. We'll talk with that and much more with Pat Stone coming up after a quick break.